Recording. Okay, so we're in Daf Lamed Beis tonight. Lamed Beis, Lev is what Michael would say when, if and when he joins us. So if you remember yesterday, I'll begin on the bottom of Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis. remember we said if a person gave instructions, how do we know that that it was fulfilled? So we said there's a presumption that a shliach performs the shlichus, that a messenger, an agent, will perform his direction. So on the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, so Amrav Nachman b'shal Torah, ein chazaka shliach oseh shlichuto. So Rav Nachman says on a deraisa level we would not rely on such a presumption, but on the top line Lamed Beis Amud Aleph b'shal Sofrim chazaka oseh shlichuto. But on the din Rabbanan there we would rely on it. Rav Sheshet says that either way, whether it's deraisa or derabanan, the presumption is that a shliach does the shlichus. I was talking to Rav Leibowitz today. He was saying that there's stronger chazakas and weaker chazakas. So the question is, how strong a chazaka is this? So the Gemara says on line 3, Amar Rav Sheshet ben Aminala. So Rav Sheshet is going to try to bring a proof now that when it comes to a din Torah, there's a chazaka that a shliach does is shlichus. He says, Amar Rav Sheshet ben Aminala, did not. We learned the Mishnah. This Mishnah is a Masechet Menachot. And dafyomi-wise, it's really like closer going in reverse than going forward. In other words, like going forward, it's like 5 years from now. But going in reverse, it's like, say, might have been a year ago. So he says, Dinami Shikarava Omer Hutara Kadash Miyad. He says, once the Korban Omer is brought, on the second day of Pesach, and Eretz Yisrael is the first day of Chol HaMoed, on the 16th of Nisan, the Minchat Omer is brought. So he says, once the Omer is brought, Hutara Kadash Miyad, Kadash, all the grain that took root since last Pesach now becomes permissible to eat. Those who are far away from Yerushalayim, so they don't know whether the Korban Omer was brought or not, but after Chatzot, they can rest assured that the Korban Omer was brought. So they're living in Metula. They don't know whether the Korban Omer was brought, but now it's Chatzot Yom, it's 12 noon, they can rest assured that the Omer was brought. So he says, Vaha Chadash Doraitu. The mitzvah of Chadash is in Torah. That's the Psukim Lechomesh. It says, don't eat the lechem, the bread, everything else. He says, and yet the Mishnah says that those who are far away from Yerushalayim, they can rely on the presumption that the Korban Omer was brought. So he says, is it not because the presumption, meaning the Kohanim, the thinking is going, are our shlichim, there are messengers, and there's a presumption that the Kohanim have performed their shlichus. So there, here I see from the Mishnah, in other words, from the Mishnah says that people who are far away from Yerushalayim can eat chadash from 12 noon. So I see a Mishnah that's mufurash that says, l'chora, that I can rely on a chazaka on a deraisa level. So that's on all fours with Rav Sheshet. We're on the eighth line from the top, on Lamed Beis Amanal, 32a, Robert, okay? 32a, eight lines from the top. So he says, V'Rav Nachman, Hatam Kitakhtani Taimu. Rav Nachman said, yeah, but you have to read the rest of the Mishnah. The next line of the Mishnah says, Lefi Shiyodin She'ein Beitim Et Atzlinbo, that they can rely to eat the Chadash from 12 noon, because they can rest assured that the Bezdin is on their game, meaning there's a supervisory body that's, you know, there to make sure that everything took place properly. So they're not relying per se on the Shliach Oseh Shlichuto, but there's not a government agency, but similar to it, that's what they're relying on. So it doesn't prove anything with Shlichus. The Ika de Amri, others say that the conversation of the Beis Medrash went like this. Amrav Nachman min Aminala, that this Mishnah was offered not for proof for Rav Sheshet, but a proof for Rav Nachman. He says, the Katani Tama Lefishodin Shein Beitim and Taslinbo, because in other words, Pumfakir, in other words, the answer in the first version forms the basis for the proof in the second version. In other words, so Rav Nachman says, we've seen that Mishnah, that the only reason that the Rechokim can rely on the fact that the Korban Omer was brought is because there's a Bezdin that's on the case. He says, Beitim Hud Lo Medatzlinbo, Hashlich Medatzlinbo. So the implication is that if it would be the shliach, I couldn't rely on it. He might have been, you know, dilatory in his obligations. For Rav Sheshet, Amar Lach, Rav Sheshet would answer you, Beitin apal gidioma, with a bezdin, so then I can rest assured from 12 noon that they brought it. But shliach kula yoma. If it's a shliach, so he'll do it. But in that, he's got the whole day to do it. But at the end of the day, I can rest assured the shliach has done it. So the Tana Mishnah is just saying, you know, to the fact that you're going to rely from 12 noon, that's because there's a bezdin that's on the case. But even without the bezdin, though, I could rely the whole rest of the day. So then at the end of the day, I could rest assured that it was brought. Okay, so again, let me just summarize what we did, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, just to refresh your recollection, review for everybody. Shai, nice to have you. So we're talking about chazaka, shliach oseh shlichuto. There's a presumption that a shliach, a messenger, an agent, performs his directive. So there's a machloket between Rav Sheshit and Rav Nachman, whether I can rely on that presumption for mitzvah d'oraisa or not. So according to Rav Nachman, I can only rely on that presumption by mitzvah d'rabanan, not for mitzvah d'oraisa. And according to Rav Sheshit, I can even rely on a mitzvah for mitzvah d'oraisa. So the Gemara says Rav Sheshit, or there's two versions, whether Rav Sheshit or Rav Nachman brings a proof. But the first version is Rav Sheshit tried to bring a proof from the Mishnah in Masechet Menachot. The Mishnah says that if you're far away from Yerushalayim, when 12 noon happens on the 16th of Nisan, which is the first day of Chol HaMoed in Eretz Yisrael, you can rest assured the Korban HaOmer was brought. And you could eat Chadash at that point in time. So that's a presumption that the Shliach does the Shlichus. That's a Din Torah. So that's the proof for Rav Sheshit. And Rav Nachman says, no, that's not a proof. The Mishnah says, why? You left out the most important lines. It says, because there's a... Lefisha Yodin Shem Beitim Mitatzlimbo, because they know the Bezdin is supervising them. In other words, so relying on the Shliach alone, I couldn't do it. But there's a Bezdin that's like, you know, they're, you know, supervising the whole situation. So that's a whole different game. And the second version is it's the proof for Rav Nachman going with the Bezdin, you know, that only then can I rely on it, not the Shliach. And Rav Sheshit says, no, for 12 noon, I have a Bezdin. But if I wouldn't have a Bezdin, at the end of the day, I'd be able to rely on it. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far? Speak now or forever hold your peace. Okay, I'm moving on. All right. Okay, so we're around 15 lines down, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Robert, are you okay, Robert? You good? Give me a thumbs up. Okay, good. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshit Mina Aminala. Now Rav Sheshit attempts a second proof to his position that there's a presumption that a shliach does his shlichus. He says, Tani, we learn in the Braisa, Aishala Sheishala Leida Oziva. A woman went through childbirth or she was a Zava. Each one of these cases, she has to bring a korban before she can eat kachim, right? She's Mechusar Kippurim, right? There's the Mitzora, the Oledet, the Zava. Those are the four cases for Mechusar Kippurim. So she wants to eat a korban. So it says, Tanya Isha Shesha Leida Uziva, Mevia Ma'od Venoten Peshofar. So if you remember, we're going to have this is sooner at the other end. After Pesachim Hav Shkalim, this Mishnah Sechet Shkalim says there were 13 shofarot. It means like pushkas. They're called shofarot because they're narrow at the top, wide at the bottom, in the base of Mikdash. And he says, so there's one shofar for the people who, you know, are like a Yoledet. So she'll put money in the shofar. Now, the Ritva says she'll put the money like with a little bag and she'll write her name on it. But she puts the money and that's enough to buy the korban. He says, V'tovelet v'ochel p'kachim l'erev. And then she goes to the mikvah and then she can eat kachim that evening. In other words, that she can rely on the presumption that the Kohanim picked up the bag of money and offered the korban. So she goes to the base of Mikdash, sticks the required money into the pushka, writes her name on the bag, and then she goes home and goes to the mikvah, and then she can eat kachem in the evening. She can rest assured the korban was brought. So here, so my tama, la mishum d'rmina, chazaka shlich oseh shlichuto. Why does that work? Presumably because the Kohanim are the shlichim, and she can rely on that presumption. So that's proof, and that's a din Torah, so that's a proof for Rav Sheshit. So Rav Nachman would say, Hatam kid Rav Shmaya. Rav Nachman would say, no, that's no proof. It's like the previous case, before we had a Bezdin, here too. He says, the Amar of Shmaya, Chazaka in Beitin Shel Konim, Omdim Misham, Achichlu Komot Shebeshofar. That the Konim had a special group of like, constituted a Bezdin to supervise that everything was taking place according to Kedat Vekedin. So there's like it's the same answer as before, just a different Bezdin. This is the Bezdin supervising it, so it doesn't prove that the Shlichus does the Shlichus. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything with you so far? Really quiet group tonight. Yosef, you're good? What's happening? All right.
I'm good. I'm with you.
Okay, I
can't see. Can you tell more about the shofarot, the three shofarot? Can you tell more about it a little bit more?
Well, you wait to Masechet Shkalim and you'll hear about it, okay? Just another, let me see. We have a Reuven, then Psachim, then Shkalim. So you have only another, let's say, 6 months, and we'll get to it. Okay, there are 13 shofarot when he entered the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, let's take a look. Now, back in the Gemara. So, Am Rav Sheshet, Mina Minala. Now, Rav Sheshet attempts a third proof that there's a presumption that Shliach does his Shlichus. To Tani, we learn in the Braisa, Homer Lechabeiro, Tzeiv Lakit Lechatein Mitenati. Reuven has got a fig tree. Reuven says to Shimon, go ahead, take some figs from my fig tree. He says, Ochel mihen aroi, uma'asrin vadoi. So Shimon, who's collecting these figs, if he wants to eat a roi, like casually, not in a suda kavua, he can eat it without taking trumas ma'asrot. Because, remember, like if you take something before the processing is complete, and you're snacking on it, you can take it without trumas ma'asrot. So here, whatever processing figs go, he's just grabbing it where the figs are, that he could do. He says, but uma'asrin vadai, if he's got the figs, he's sitting down, he's eating a whole meal, and he's eating these figs, then he definitely has to take off the trumas and ma'asrot. He says, but if Reuven says to Shimon, not take some figs, in other words, he can rest assured that Reuven did not take trumas and ma'asrot from it. Because how could Reuven have taken trumas and ma'asrot? He doesn't know how many figs he's even going to take. He just says, take some figs. So Reuven wouldn't even know how much trumas and ma'asrot to take for it. So that's that way that goes. So the Gemara says, but if Reuven says to Shimon, my phone is ringing, one second. If he says to Shimon, fill up this basket with figs, please excuse me 1 minute, I just got to hit the phone. One second. It stopped. Okay, it stopped. Okay, let's go on. So, let's go. So, but if he says, fill this basket with figs from my fig tree, so then if he wants to eat the figs casually, he can eat it without trumas ma'asrot, uma'asrin demai. But if he eats it like in a more kavua way, in a more, you know, like more towards a meal, so then he has to take ma'asrot off as demai. In other words, he can't be certain whether Reuven took ma'asrot from it or not. He can't be sure of it. So he'll take it as demai. So the Gemara says, in other words, the point being that since Reuven said, fill this kalkala, fill this basket, 1 minute, the phone is ringing. 1 second.
Ed.
Yes.
Ed,
me.
You answer your emails?
Okay, please. Let's go back. It's just spam. Okay, now, So if he says, all right. Okay, so Okam Rumasra and Demai. So the point being that Reuven knows how many figs are taken because he says, fill this basket. So now there's a possibility that Reuven took Masrot for it, because in order to take Maaser, I have to know how much you're taking. I don't know how much you're taking. Now I know how much you're taking. So it's demai. But then the Braisa continues, that's only if Reuven was an Ama Aretz. He says, Aval b'chaver, if Reuven's a chaver, like a Tamad Chacham, Ochel b'eno tzrich la'aser divrei Rebbe. So then Shimon, so if Reuven the chaver says to Shimon, fill this basket with figs, and then Shimon decides to have a whole big meal with it, Shimon can rest assured that Reuven took ma'asrot from it. He says, "Ve'eno tzrich la'aser divrei Rebbe." So that's what Rebbe. Fern, can you mute yourself? So that's what Rebbe says. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, b'amurim ba'am ha'aretz. Gamliel says, when is the first halach of the son of Ha'aretz? Of Abachaver, he says, Eino chel achia aser. So Rabbi Shmuel is Rebbe's father. He says, Pumfaker, by Chaver, you can't eat till you take Maiser. Because Chaverim don't take Mastrod from something which isn't right near it. So in other words, let's say Reuven is at home and he says, you have my fig tree. Here's this basket. Go fill the basket with figs and have a nice time. So Reuven is not at the fig tree. So Chaverim, Tamid Chamim, don't take truma from something which isn't near the food. In other words, we had this before. So something's it's an obligation on the Rabbanim level. Some say deraisa, but he says now. So let's go slowly with this. So we said I have Reuven has the fig tree. Shimon is the fig eater. So Reuven says, you know, go take figs. So then if he eats it casually, he's not chayev. If he eats it more, more permanently, kavua, then he's got to take masrot from it. But the key is the second case. If Reuven says, fill this basket and fill it with figs and then have a nice nosh, so at that point, when he eats it, when Shimon eats it, so according to Rebbe, he's got nothing to worry about because he's home free, that Reuven must have taken off for him. According to Shimon Galil, no. Bedafka, he has to take masrot from it because since Reuven's Tamid Chacham, he knows that he's not going to take Maaser for something which is not Menamukaf. Let me just a few more lines, we'll pause. So Amar Rebbe. Rebbe says, still part of the Braisa, Nirin Devarai Midivrei Abba. My opinion seems more sensible than my father's opinion. He says, Mutav Shi Chashtu Chaverim Letrom Shlom Menamukaf Lo Yachilu Lame Aretz Tevalim. In other words, in this scenario, I have two possibilities. Either that the Chaver Reuven is giving a green light to Shimon to eat food where no masros have been taken from it, or Reuven the Chaver took the masros Shlomo Namukhav. So, as between those two possibilities, Rebbe thinks that the second possibility makes much more sense. I'd much prefer to just violate like a very sort of lenient violation, taking Shlomo Namukhav, rather than have somebody eat Trumas and masros, you know, or to eat food that tevel and that masrot weren't taken from. Okay, now let's just pause. Not pause yet. Give me five more lines. So ad kan lo pligi el the marsvar nechshdu marsvar lo nechshdu. So in the brisa, the point of dispute between Rebbe and his father is whether a chaver is suspected of violating this requirement to take masrot shlomo namukhav or not. According to Rebbe, he would have violated it. According to Leil, he would not have violated it. He says, but for that din, let's say there wouldn't be a din like that, so then everybody would agree that there's a presumption that Reuven took the masrot from it. So then we have, that's a proof for Rav Sheshet. So the thrust were around 10 lines to the bottom on Lamed Beis, and Aleph Michael. So that being the case, we have a proof for Rav Sheshet. And then the Gemara says, Rav Nachman, respond, Hatam kid Rav Chanina Choza. Over there, it's like Rav Chanina Choza explained. The Amar Rav Chanina Choza, Chazaka hu al-chaver, shinamotzi davar, shinamatukan mitachat yado. There's a different presumption. It's not the presumption that a shliach does the shlichus. There's a presumption that a chaver, a tamen chacham, won't let, you know, typically food, but something leave his possession unless it's in good shape. He doesn't want to mess people up, like the Slipnei Iver. It's working with a different presumption. Okay, let's just summarize again what we did so far, and then for Michael and for everybody, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, so again, Rav Sheshet holds that there's a chazaka that shliach oseh shlichuto, that a shliach, an agent, performs his directions. In other words, that's the presumption. And I could rely on it even for a din Torah. And Rav Nachman says there is a presumption like that, but I could only rely on it for a din de Rabbanan. All right? So then we have this case that's mentioned in the Braisa with the person with the fig tree. Now, the thing is with the fig tree, the figs, so you could say taking masros from the figs might be a din de Rabbanan, but it has an ikar in the Torah. In other words, the idea of taking masros is a din Torah. So that's the way that you have to say in this Malach and the Gemara. So we said if Reuven is the fig, is the owner of the tree, and Shimon is the eater, the friend. So if Reuven says to Shimon, take some figs, and Shimon gnashes a little bit on the figs, so then he can eat it without taking masrot from it. But if he eats it more in a more permanent way, he has to take, he's got to take the masrot from it. But that's only if Reuven's an Ama Aretz. But if Reuven is a chaver, so then, excuse me, let me go back. Give me one second. What says that?
The ratio didn't make a difference to you.
Okay. One second. Wait. Yeah. I'm sorry. You're right. In other words, there, there's no possibility whether Reuven's an Amoris or a Chaver. You're right, Yosef, because there's no way that he could take Masro because he doesn't know how much food the Shimon is going to take off. So to take Meiser, I have to know what he's going to take. So the Gemara says, but the key issue is if Reuven says, fill this basket with figs and take figs, so then, again, if he's doing it Achilas Arai, he's off the hook. But if he's doing Achilas Keva, so according to Rebbe, he doesn't have to anything to worry about because I skipped. There was a stage. Let me go back. In other words, if he's an Amah Aretz and he says fill this basket with figs, so then if you're eating Arichlis Arai, you're okay. But if you're eating it more Keva, so then I have to take it Demai. I have to assume it's Demai. I don't know whether Reuven the Amah Aretz took Masrot or not. But the key is when he's a Chaver. But if Reuven's a Chaver, and that's the key case. So the key case is really the last case. If Reuven is a Chaver, he's a Tamen Chacham, and he says, fill this basket with figs, and then Shimon fills it with figs, and he eats it Keva. So according to Rebbe, he's got nothing to worry about. He can rest assured that Reuven the Chaver took off the Masro. That's the key. So he can rely, there's a presumption that here in this case, the Reuven is really the Shliach. In other words, because the obligation of the person who's eating it, and he's fulfilling the shlichus of Shimon. That's the presumption. And then the Roman Shin Gamliel, who's Rebbe's father, said, no, it's punfakert. If he eats it sudas keva, he vadai, maser wasn't taken off, because Reuven isn't chashed and suspected of violating the din of taking maser at shloman amukav. In other words, from something that's not near the fig tree. So, but they both agree, had it not been for that issue of Minamukaf, and Rebbe holds, as between the two Aveirot, feeding somebody food that's Tevel, and doing the Shlomo Minamukaf, he's going to come down on taking Shlomo Minamukaf. In other words, that's the way Rebbe figures it. But they both agree that if taking from the Mukaf wasn't an issue, so then there's a Chazaka Shliach who says Shlichuto, that Reuven would have definitely taken it off, and that's the proof for Rav Sheshet. And Rav Nachman says, no, you got it all for Misht. In that case, not a din of Shliach Oseh Shlichuto. Over there, it's a halacha, it's a different chazaka. Chazaka al-chaver, sheinu mosim mitachad yado, davar sheinu metukan. There's a presumption that a chaver won't let something out of his rishus unless it's been fixed up. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far?
I got a question. How is this a Shliach case?
Yeah, so the idea is that Reuven...
Reuven's telling Shimon to do something for himself, not for Reuven.
Okay, no. So Shimon is the one who's eating the food.
Right.
So somebody else, is all the noise from your end?
Okay. Yes, from my end.
Okay. So Shimon is the eater of the food. So Shimon has the obligation now to take off the Masrot. But there's a presumption that Reuven already took off the Masrot. So Reuven is performing a shlichus for Shimon. That's the way that this is working out.
Okay.
All right. Are we good? Okay. All right. Let me move on. Now, all right. Now, the rest of the Gemara till the next mission is really focusing on this case. So let's go back. Okay. So we're around eight lines from the bottom. Amar Mar. So Amar Mar. So we said earlier in the Brisa, that's only if Reuven is an Amah Aretz. If Reuven is a Chaver, Ochel ve'enot tzarich la'aser divrei Rebbe. According to Rebbe, now Shimon can eat it without taking Masrot. So, Haya Amah Aretz deka'amar le'i leman. So, again, like we assume that all the cases in the Brisa are the same. So, if Reuven is a Chaver, One second. Right. So again, in the beginning of the Brisa, Reuven is an Amah Aretz, and then we say Reuven is a Chaver in the second part of the Brisa. So Reuven starts off as an Amah Aretz in the first scenario. So the Gemara says, what is Shimon? So the Gemara says, Amar bum urim ba'am ba'amar. So b'chaber ochel ve'non tzarich la'aser, diri Rebbe. So hayam ha'aretz deka'amar le leman. So if Reuven is an ama'aretz, who is he talking to? Elaim deka'amar lama'aretz. In other words, if we'll say Shimon is also an ama'aretz. In other words, the first case in the Brisa, we said that, let's say Reuven the ama'aretz is speaking, we think now, to Shimon the ama'aretz. And let's say he says to him, you know, fill the basket with figs. So then if Shimon is also an Amma Aretz, so the Brisa says, so he should take off Masrot from Demai. Demai is the tool you buy from the Amma Aretz. So the Gemara says, Elema de Kamar Lama Aretz, Chavre Maasron, Demai, Mitzayet. In other words, who would even listen to such an instruction? In other words, you have to take Masrot when you buy the fruit from the Amma Aretz. But if Shimon himself is an Amma Aretz, he's not going to bother taking off Masrot from it. He's not going to listen to that. So the Gemara says, Elam, the Amma Aretz, the Kamer, the Chaver. So we think that the first case is in the Brisa, Reuven is an Amma Aretz, and Shimon is a Chaver. Shimon, the one who's taking the figs, he's the Tamid Chacham. Because that's the only way it makes sense that we say that if he fills up the kalkala, so misafek, he has to take the masrot. He's a chaver. So Ema Sefer, let's go now to the end of the Brisa. The end of the Brisa says, Nirin divarai mi divrei abba, that Rebbe says that my opinion makes more sense than my father's opinion. Mutav shechashtu chaverim letrom shloman amukaf, v'al ya'achilu liyame ha'aretz tivalin. He says it's more preferable that the chaver will take maser shloman amukaf, not close by the fig tree, he says, rather than feeding the Amei Haaretz Tevel. But we just said that the eater is a chaver. That's what we said. He says, Tevalin, Amei Haaretz may buy hatam. So Amar Ravina, Reisha bi Amei Haaretz shamar lechaver. So Ravina says like this. In the beginning of the Brisa, we're talking about Reuven zi Amei Haaretz and Shimon is the chaver. He says, Seifa b'chaver shamar le'am ha'aretz. The Seifa case is, Reuven is a chaver, Shimon, so everything is flipping over. It means, in the beginning of the Brisa, Reuven is the am ha'aretz, and he's talking to a chaver. So Reuven the am ha'aretz says to the chaver, fill up this basket, fill of figs. And then Shimon the chaver, now he's eating derek keva, so we say that he should take Maastros because it's Demai. So that makes sense. So Reuven is the Amma Aretz, Shimon is the Chaver. But at the end of the Brisa, it's 180 degrees the opposite. Reuven is the Chaver, and Shimon is the Amma Aretz. So it means like this. So Reuven is the Chaver, and he says to Shimon the Amma Aretz, you know, fill this kalkala with peirot and eat it. And then there's machloket whether or not between Rebbe and his father whether Reuven the chaver will have taken the masrot off. So let's just one second, one more line. So he says here, Reisha b'yam ha'aretz shamar lechaver seifa b'chaver shamar lema'aretz b'chaver acher shomo. And there's another chaver that's overhearing the conversation. So it means like this: the yam ha'aretz is not going to bother with Demai. If an Amma Aretz gets Demai, it's good for me. I eat Demai all the time. All my food is Demai. I'm not going to do anything with Demai. It's like, you know, it's like I rely on K kosher. You know, that's my standards. So, you know, I sell it, I buy it, I eat it all the time. So, but it's saying the safer case is that Reuven's a chaver, and he says to Shimon the Amma Aretz, fill this kalkala with peirot and eat it, and then take it. And then Levi, who's a chaver, overhears that conversation. So the question, the machloka between Rebbe and his father is whether Levi, who's a chaver, and overheard the conversation between Reuven and Shimon, and now he, Levi, wants to eat some of those figs that Shimon has. He bought it from him or he gave it to him. So can Levi, the chaver, can he rely that Reuven took the maso from it or not? That's the machloka between Rebbe and his father. Let me just do a few more lines, then I'll go. He says, Chaver Acher Shomo, Rebbe Savar, the top line on Lamed Beis, Rebbe Savar, Oto Chaver, Ochel, Venot Tzirich La'aser. He says that that Rebbe holds that Levi can eat the figs. He doesn't have to worry about the masrot. Devada yisrima aser ha'hu chaver kama ilabe. Because certainly Reuven, who was also a chaver, took the masrot, and because he... it's a chazaka shliach of shlichuto. That's the way Rebbe would learn it. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer lo yochal at she'aser. Rabbi Shimon says no. Levi shouldn't eat those figs till he takes his own masrot. Lefish lo nechshdu chaverim l'trom shlom and amukaf, because there's a chashash that the chaver he's from, so he won't want to violate the halacha of taking masrot shlom and amukaf, something from a distance away. But Amar le Rebbe, and Rebbe says to his father, it's better that a chaver would be suspected or violating this rule about taking master shlom and amukaf, rather than they give the ama aretz tevel, meaning to Shimon. But as a result of that, Levi, you know, is also a beneficiary. So, b'mai kimifligi, what's the point of dispute between Rebbe and his father? Rebbe savar nichalei lechaver d'la'aved hu yisur klila v'la'aved ma'aretz yisur rabba. Rebbe holds it's more preferable when a person's analyzing the situation from the chaver's perspective that I do a minor aveira rather than I'm causing the ama aris to do a big aveira by eating tevel. So I'd rather violate a small aveira rather than, like, you know, give chazer to my non-religious friend. He says, "Rabban Shimon Gamliel savar nichle lechaver la'avid ama aris yisur rabba." Rabban Shimon says, "No, the chaver would prefer that the ama aris do a big aveira, be ihu afilu yisur klil lo avid, but he doesn't even want to do a small isur." In other words, with that whole thing. All right, let's just try to summarize as best we can with this whole thing. So we hooked into this whole thing because we were trying to bring a proof to Rav Sheshet about chazaka shliachos shlichuto, but that we had this case at the end of the Braisa, which it comes out, Reuven, at the end of the Braisa, Reuven is the chaver, and we had a reference that you're giving the food to the Ama Aretz. So Shimon has to be an Ama Aretz, but the Ama Aretz, you can't have a scenario where the Ama Aretz would, you know, ever, you know, want to take Masrot from Demai, so we said that Levi is also a chaver, is overhearing the conversation, and Levi ends up, you know, wanting to eat some of those figs. So it came out then Rebbe says that Levi can rely that Reuven took the masrot, because Reuven would rather do a small aveira by taking masrot shlomo amukaf rather than cause Shimon, who's an amaretz, doing a big aveira, and by extension, you know, causing anybody else to do a big aveira. And then Rav Shmuel says, no, Levi can't rely on that presumption, because the chaver, Reuven the chaver, would rather not do any aveirot and, you know, let the chips fall where they may. All right, let's. Who's got questions, comments, or anything else so far? Everybody good? All right, I tried my best. All right, I'm going to move on. You got it. You're firm. You're good. Everybody good? Okay. All right. Let me go on. All right. Now, all right. So we're on Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, 10 lines from the top. Matnitin. Everybody think? Now, again, we're talking about a Reuven Tchumen. Now, one din with a Reuven Tchumen, I can't declare that my Shvita is in one place and my food is in another place. In other words, I and my food have to be, or a place where I can have access to it. In other words, if I declare my Shvita is in place A, and then there's an Easter for me to get the food from place B, then the Eruv Tchumen are going to fall by the wayside. Meaning, if I'm in the Rishus HaRabim, and if I declare my Makom Shvita is in the Rishus HaRabim, and my food is in the Rishus HaYachid, so that Eruv Tchumen is going to fall apart, because if theoretically I'd be in the Rishus HaRabim, I couldn't take the food from the Rishus HaYachid and bring it to the place that I'm declaring to be my Makom Shvita, my residence for Shabbos. That's the most important yisod for this Mishnah. So, manitin, nitano be'ilan l'mala me'asar tefachim. If a person placed the food in a tree which is higher than 10 tefachim, and we don't know this yet, but the Gemara is going to explain, the tree is a rishus yachid. It's dalad by dalad, and it's more than 10 tefachim high. So the tree, I put the food in the tree. He says, ein ervo eruv. And again, we're missing a lot of facts here, but the Gemara is going to explain. I declare my Makom Shvita to be at the base of the tree, and the tree is in the Rishus HaRabim. So I'm in the Rishus HaRabim, or I'm not even in the Rishus HaRabim, but I declare my Makom Shvita is in the Rishus HaRabim, and the food is in the Rishus HaYachid, so that can't be an Erev Tchumen, because I don't have access to the food, because it would be carrying from the Rishus HaYachid to the Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos to have access to that food to my Makom Shvita. In other words, the food has to be, you know, a place either in my Makom Shvita or a place where I have access to it from the Makom Shvita. Lamata me'asaret fachim irvo eruv. So if I put it in the tree and the food is less than 10 tefachim from the ground, so then the Gemara is going to explain that then that's a carmelite and I'm in the Rishus HaRabim. So carrying from a carmelite to Rishus HaRabim is an Easter Drabanan, but the Gemara is going to say that that the Eruv takes place Bein HaShmashot, like twilight going in Friday night, and Bein HaShmashot, so a Shvut Rabbanan does not apply, or at least this Shvut Rabbanan does not apply, so then I do still have access to it, and it's good Eruv. Nitano Babor, if I put the Eruv Tchumin in a pit, he says, Afilu Amok Mea Ama, Eruvo Eruv. So this case we're not going to discuss in the Gemara today, but it's basically the boar is going to be Rishus HaYachid, and above it is a Carmelite, and the same idea as before. So then Bein HaShmashot, so the Shvut Rabbanan doesn't apply, so then I have access to it, Bein HaShmashot. All right, who's got questions on the Mishnah?
Can you explain the tree case with less than 10 tefachim?
Yeah, well, we're going to have it in the Gemara. I jumped the gun a little bit, but the basic explanation is that when it's in the tree and it's less than 10 tefachim high, it's in a carmelite, and I'm in the Rishus HaRabim. So carrying from the carmelite to the Rishus HaRabim would be an Avera D'Rabbanan, right? Yosef?
Yes.
Yeah. So then the Gemara is going to explain that Kordavar Shumishum Shvut Logazra La Bein HaShmashot. You know, if it's because of Shvut, then that goes here Bein HaShmashot.
Wasn't right? There a machloket? Didn't we have a machloket on that?
On whether it goes here Bein HaShmashot?
Yeah.
I don't know about a machloket about. It might be. I don't know. But I had spoken to Rabbi Ezra Schwartz today. I asked him about this, and he says it's not every Easter Drabanan. Okay, please get to mute yourself. It's too noisy over there, Yosef. Okay, mute. Okay, good. Now, let's do the Gemara, and then the Gemara hopefully will flesh this out a little bit more. And we have some nice pictures. Let me get some pictures for you. Everybody likes some pictures. Our picture book is back in business. One second. Let me go back. One second. Hold it. Let me go back here. One minute, let me find it here. Okay. All right. Okay, here we have some nice pictures. Everybody likes a picture. Okay, here you see the tree. You can see the loaf of bread. And here, loaf. All right. So the Gemara says, Yativ Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Yasi, Rabbi bar Natan. So I don't know. It's frequently this scenario. Three chachamim, and then a fourth one standing around. The Gemara oftentimes has such a scenario. I don't know why it's like frequently three chachamim, but that's the way it goes. He says, Yativ Rabbi Nachman Gabayu. Now Rabbi Nachman is the gadol ador. He's the Yativ Bekamri. Those three were sitting and saying, Hi Elon, the Kai Hecha. Where is this tree? In other words, I explained it based on the maskana. They don't know any of the facts. Where is the tree? So the Gemara says, Elaim b'dekai b'rishut ha'yachid, if the tree is in the rishut ha'yachid, the private domain, so mali lamala, mali lamata. What difference does it make if it's above 10 tefachim or below 10 tefachim? And here you see the nice tree with the two loaves, and one loaf is within 10 tefachim, and one loaf is above 10 tefachim. So what difference does it make if it's above 10 tefachim or below 10 tefachim? Rishut ha'yachid ola rakil. Rishut ha'yachid goes up to the heavens. So presumably I'm in the rishut ha'yachid also. The tree's in the rishut ha'yachid. I'm in the rishut ha'yachid. So no harm, no foul. The El of the Kaiber should have robbed him. He says, so rather the tree is in the Rishut. What? Who made noise? Okay, the El of the Kaiber should have robbed him. The tree is in the Rishut of Rabim. So he says, so in the Rishut of Rabim, there's a difference between 10th Fakim and below 10th Fakim, above 10th Fakim, right? The Rishut of Rabim only goes up to 10th Fakim, right? That's the way that it goes. So the Gemara says, the Mitkabin Lishbot Hecha. So the tree is actually going to be Rishus HaYachid. So he says, so where does he intend his Makom Shvita? So if his intention is that, and so we're focusing on the first case of the Mishnah. The first case of the Mishnah is he puts it Lamala Me'asar Tfachim. He puts the loaf of bread above 10 Tfachim, and it says Ein Eruvo Eruv. It's not a good Eruv Tchumen. So we said the tree is in the Rishus HaRabim. So where does he intend his makom shvita to be? So he says elam is the kavanah shvot lamala. So he intends his makom shvita to be above ten tefachim. Uve rov makom echadu. That should be good. Ella, and here the Bach corrects, that in kavanah shvot lamata, he says he intends to have his makom shvita below. So it means like this. The tree is dalad by dalad, is the way Rashi learns. The tree is four tefachim by four tefachim, and it's higher than ten tefachim. So it's rishus yachid. So his loaf of bread is in the rishus yachid. He's in the rishus rabim. Does he have access, if he's in the rishus rabim, does he have access to his bread ben hashmashot? No, because he'd have to carry the bread from the rishus yachid to the rishus rabim. So it's ein eruv o eruv. So it's not a good eruv. But if it's below 10 tefachim, then we think we're okay, because then we think it's a carmelite. Now, if you look here in the picture book, see here we have like one loaf in the tree and one loaf here. He makes this a different potential scenario. He's got like a trunk, which is a little bit easier to understand, like a low-standing trunk and a high-standing trunk, you know, maybe like that. So if one trunk is 10 tefachim high, this trunk is rishus yachid, that wouldn't work. And this one is below 10 tefachim, this would be the carmelite, that would work. Is everybody okay so far?
No.
What? Yes or no?
No.
All right. What's your problem?
What's the problem? How come there's no problem if the trees in Rishu HaYachi?
Because he has to have access to his loaf of bread.
Yeah, but he's in Rabim.
No. If the he's at the base of the tree. If the tree is in the Rishu HaYachi, he's in the Rishu HaYachi.
Uh huh. Okay.
Okay. Okay. So let me go back. What's up, Michael? Let me hear. I can't hear you.
Didn't we say that if he goes to an area and Ben Ashmashos,
right?
That would be good.
That would be good. He's not there Ben Ashmashos. I mean, theoretically, if he would be there Ben Ashmashos, would he have access to the food? That's what we're saying. In Achinami, if he's there, he doesn't need the food. He says
he doesn't need the food.
This is my makom shvita, but it means that he's declaring his makom shvita, his place of residence for Shabbos, is at the base of the tree. This is what he's declaring. But the food, in other words, let's go back to the picture book.
I thought he doesn't need food if he goes physically there.
Again, he's not going physically there. He's
not there. How'd the food get there?
He gave it to a shliach.
The shliach. Oh,
right. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Or he brought it there earlier, and now he's elsewhere. He himself brought it down earlier, but now he's elsewhere. But the shvita is going to be nikne bein hashmashot. All right. So let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, so I'm near the small aleph in parentheses. Okay, we're around 20 lines from the bottom on lamed beis, lamed beis. So the Gemara says, but even if I take it the way you're saying it, let's say the loaf of bread is below 10 tefachim, or in this case here it's on the stump that's below 10 tefachim, but to get access to the bread, he's going to like have to, you know, climb the tree, use the tree. You're not allowed to, you know, lean on a tree, do anything with a tree on Shabbos, and that's a gzeira that you might come to break off a branch. So how is he supposed to do that? So the Gemara says, "Leolam dekayber should rob him." When a kavan lishpot lamata, the Rebbe he, the Amar kol devar shumishum shvut lo gazru la ben hashmashot. So the Gemara says, "Look, we got everything right. He is in the Rishud Rabim. The tree now, if it's below 10 tefachim, it's a carmelite. And now the Gemara could have asked, how can he take it from a carmelite? But the Gemara said there was these two potential derabanans that are possibly being violated." One, he's using the tree to get access to the loaf, and the other is he's carrying from the carmelite to the rishus yachid. So that they're both, but the Gemara picked one of two potential rabbinic violations. So the Gemara says that our Mishnah follows Rebbe. Rebbe says kol devar shum shum shvut, anything which is a, you know, rabbinically prohibited on Shabbos, lo gazru la ben hashmashot. They didn't make a gzei rabbein hashmashot, twilight. So when is he kona his makom shvita ben hashmashot? So ben hashmashot, so lo gazru la mishum shvut. So he's home free. So he's okay with that. Let me do five more lines, then I'll pause. So those are the three chachamim. They're having the conversation. They're trying to understand this Mishnah, because the Mishnah is, you know, somewhat confusing. It's somewhat ambiguous. So amar lehu Rav Nachman, yasher v'chein amar Shmuel. He says, taka yasher koach. He gave a wonderful hezber in the Mishnah, and Shmuel explained it the same way. So he says, Amrulay, they said to Rav Nachman, Patritu ba kulihai, did you touch up this braces in the same fashion, like so difficult this way? So the question is, what's so difficult? Inunami haki kapatri ba. They also darshan it out that way. Ella haki amrulay. This is what they said to him. Kivaitu lay bi gemara. Where you koveya this pshat in your gemara. It doesn't mean like our gemara, but it means like in your corpus, your Torah Shabbat peh, where you koveya this as the hezber in the Mishnah. So Amar Lahu in. He said, yeah, Taka. This is the way I learned the pshat. So Idmar Nami, Amar of Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Hachabilano Meber Shudarabim, Maskinan. We're dealing with a tree which is in the Shudarabim. Gaboa Asara Verocha Varba. That's 10 tfachim high and 4 by 4 tfachim wide. Then it Kavin Lishpot Lamata. And he intends to be kohen as Makam Shvita at the base of the tree. Rebbe Hidamar, Kodavar Shum Shushvut, Logazrula Ben Hashmashot. Anything that's because of Shvut, then that goes in Ben Hashmashot. Okay, let me just repeat again and then let's discuss. So, again, so the Mishnah says, the picture, one picture is worth 1,000 words, as they say. So, if the loaf of bread is going to be his Eruv Tchumen. If the loaf of bread is above 10 Tfachim, he's got no Eruv Tchumen. If it's below 10 Tfachim, he has an Eruv Tchumen. Or, picture two, loaf of bread is above 10 tefachim, no good. Loaf of bread below 10 tefachim, it's good. So the Gemara ends up explaining, here you see Rishus Arabim. The Gemara explains that the tree, or the stump, is in Rishus Arabim. Now, if it's 10 tefachim high, and 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, so then it's a Rishus Yachid. So then he doesn't have access to his bread. He wants to be Kohen Makom Shvita over here. He doesn't have access to the bread, because he'd have to take from the Rishus Yachid to the Rishus Arabim. But if the bread is below 10 tefachim, as in here or here, and he's in the Rishus Arabim, that's where he's Kona Shvita, so he would violate two dinim derabanan by taking a loaf of bread. He'd be using a tree, you know, I guess leaning against the tree and climbing the tree, whatever, and he's also taking from a Carmelite to the Rishus Arabim. But the Gemara says, our Mishnah follows Rebbe. Rebbe says that kol davar shum shvut, anything which is rabbinically prohibited is permissible bein hashmashot, in the twilight period going into Shabbos. But it means, I think, not everything, but certainly surim. But this is one thing that is permissible. And therefore, he has access to his Erev bein hashmashot, which is when it matters and it works. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far?
Why didn't they discuss why you can or cannot bring it back and forth to the Carmelite? That would seem like an important point.
No, so Rashi says that the it's the same thing. In other words, Rashi says, let me get the Rashi. 1 minute. 1 second. Yeah, if you look at the Rashi, you see the Rashi, V'hamish tamish be'ilan? It's around the 30th narrow line from the top. Fern, do you see?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So, and everybody look at the Rashi. B'hamish tamish be'ilan, he's using the tree. Ki shakile, when he takes it, v'yamai eruv o'eruv, apilu matami asara, why is the eruv even good? If it's less than tzitfachim, v'lo matzi shakile, he's not allowed to take it. The shimish ilan shvut hu, kididan, ilim shvut shvut, lo olin be'ilan, you're allowed to climb a tree. V'huadin, Rashi says, d'matzi l'mifrach v'akamaiti mikarmel eruv shud rabim. The Gemara said, he's taking from the karmel shud rabim. El kevan d'hashvut v'hashvut. So that's a shvut, this is a shvut. So he mentions one, but the Enachinami, the Zalbazach. Okay, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, all right. You're getting your money's worth, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let me see, let's go further. Now, let's go back to our picture book. Pictures are always nice. Here we have another picture coming up. All right, let's see the next piece. Now, the Gemara says, okay, we're 8 lines from the bottom. Everybody with me? So I'm a Rava. Lo shana will be ilan omed chutz la ibura shel ir. So Rava says this whole din is if the tree is outside the ibura shel ir. The ibura shel ir is like the perimeter of the city. It means here's the city. It's surrounded by a wall. And then 70 and 2/3 amot out. And here we have beis is a tree that's betoch ibura shel ir. And here we have another tree, aleph, which is chutz la ibura shel ir. So he says, all the halakhot we just said is if the tree is outside the ibura shel ir. In other words, here that we're talking about this tree over here. It's outside the perimeter of the city. Aval ilan omei betoch ibura shel ir, but if the tree is within the ibur of the ir, meaning over here where the beis is, afilu lemalam yasara hareza erev. Even if the loaf of bread is above 10 tefachim, he's in good shape. And even though he's in the, this is Yisrach, he's Rishus Arabim. So here's Rishus Arabim, and the loaf is above 10 tefachim. Loaf is really in Rishus Yachid. It's still good. Why? Demata kaman demal yadami. We view the city as being filled up with dirt. So the way, I was listening to the way Rav Simon Wolf was explaining this today. He was saying, for dinim of Eruv, so we count the alpayim amah from the edge of the city. In other words, let's say I'm in a city. If I have a house or an apartment in this city, so my alpayim amah would begin from the 70 2/3 amot, meaning that in a certain way I view the whole city as my rishus yachid. So it doesn't mean that there's no rishus rabim, you know, or carmelite there. There is. So in Achinami, if he would take it, he'd be taking from the Rishus Yachid to the Rishus Rabim. But for the Dinim of Eruv, we're entitled to view this whole thing in a certain sense as Rishus Yachid. It doesn't mean that you could carry in the road or anything like that. Not for Dinim Hotza'a, but for a leniency, for Eruvit Chumin, I'm entitled to view this whole thing as a sort of Rishus Yachid, because I do view the whole place as his house for Alpayim Amah. In other words, if my house is in the middle of the Midbar, I count 2,000 Amot from my house. Here, I'm in a city, so I count 2,000 Amot from the border of the city. So we're viewing the whole city. Now, the way the Ritva says, we view the whole city as being filled with dirt, and so he's now is in a Rishus HaYachid, is what the Ritva wants to say, and the food is in a Rishus HaYachid. Now, the only thing is, though, here, like when we fill it up with the Rashi, from Rashi it sounds like you're filling up where the walls are, but this Rabbi Simon Wolf was saying, Tos was saying, like, since you can carry till here, so we view the whole place is kind of filled up with dirt. All right. Everybody okay with what I just said?
No, I lost you.
Okay. So it means like this. Erev is a din de Rabbanan. According to most of them, poskim, all these dinim are dinim de Rabbanan. So we said he's in one Rishus and the Erev is in a different Rishus. That's what we said before. So if it's, again, Yosef, let me see you. Let me go back. Let me go with stop share. Okay, I would like to see everybody. Okay. Yosef, let me see you. I like first seeing somebody when I talk to them. Okay, there you are. Now, so we're focusing on the case where the loaf of bread is above 10 tefachim in the tree, and he's in the Rishus HaRabim. So we said that's not a good Erev, because his Makom Shvit is in the Rishus HaRabim. The Erev is in the Rishus HaYachid. So he does not have access to it, Bein HaShmashot, so it's not a good Eruv. So Rava qualifies that din. He says that's only if the tree is outside the Ibura Shel'ir. Let's go here. That's only, well, let me get your picture up here so I can see you. Okay. So that's only if the tree is here. That's outside the Ibura Shel'ir. But if the tree is within the Ibura Shel'ir, then we view him and the tree as both being in Rishus HaYachid. He's not in Rishus HaYachid. He's chayev for Hotzah if he takes the thing. But for purposes of Eruvit Chumin, we're going to view him like he's in Rishus HaYachid. Why is he in Rishus HaYachid? So for Dinim of Eruvit Chumin, we view the whole city as sort of like his residence, his Rishus HaYachid, because we measure his Alpayim Amah from the dotted line. So we don't measure his Alpayim Amah from his apartment, we measure Alpayim from the dotted line. So in a certain way, the whole city is his Rishus. So the Gemara says we view the whole city as being filled with dirt, like filled up with dirt, like he's raised up, and so he's, the way the Ritva understands it, he's also in Rishus HaYachid. How are you now?
Better.
Okay. All right, let me move on. Now, everybody else good? Everybody else okay? Okay, so moving on. All right.
Okay.
What?
Okay.
Okay, Mordechai, you gotta mute yourself or ask a question.
Okay.
All right, I think we're going to mute you. All right, let's go back to sharing. Okay, now... So the Gemara says, we're six lines from the bottom. Ihachi chutzli burashel yunami. So once you're telling me, I'm going to look at the dinim of Eruvit Chumin and judge it whether it's a Rishus HaYachid. So I'm not going to judge Rishus HaYachid purely by the dinim of Hilchot Shabbat by Hotza'a. I'm going to have an overlay for the Hilchot Eruvei Tchumin. In other words, what are the halakhot? How do I measure the Alpai Mama? So once you tell me that, so Ihachi, Chutz Le'Iburah Shel Yir Nami, even if the tree is outside the Iburah Shel Yir, and he's here in the Rishus HaRabim, Kevin Dama Rava, Hanotin Eruvo, Yeshlo Arba Amot, Havilo Rishut Yachid. So Rava has a din later on. Let's say I have my food and the food rolls down, I have a loaf of bread, I have an Italian bread, and it rolls, I'm here, and the Italian bread, he's the end of the 2,000 amot, and the Italian bread rolls, two amot, beyond the 2,000 amot. So Rava says that where the Erev Tchumen is, that's like your Shvita, so you have Dalet Amot there, that's like your home. So you have Dalet Amot, you have an area Dalet Amot by Dalet Amot. He says, "Habi lo Rishu Yachid, Rishu Yachid Ola Ad Rakia." So in a certain way, and I think we have a picture here. So, here he's connected to the tree. In other words, so if this is my Makom Shvita, I have a Makom of Dalet Amot by Dalet Amot. So in other words, so for a certain din, it's saying it's my Rishusa Yachid. In other words, for measuring 2,000 amot, it's the same as the city before. The city I measure from the Iburah Shel Yir. So where my Eruv Tchumen, I don't measure from just the Aleph, I measure from the Dalet Amot by Dalet Amot, which is saying that this is my Shvita. So I have an area Dalet by Amot, Dalet Amot. So if that's the Sfar you got, so it should always be good because it's also Rosh HaSiyachid where the tree is in a certain respect, if Rabbi's Sfar is correct. He says, Havi Rosh HaSiyachid Ola Rakia. So if that's the case, so now we don't know what the case is in the Mishnah anymore. So if I'm entitled to use these sfaras by Eruv Tchumen, that is my residence, so it's I could view it as a Rishus Yachid for in terms of access to a loaf of bread, so then the Eruv is always good. So what's the case in the Mishnah where it's not good? So two lines from the bottom. Am Rav Yitzchak Bereid Mar Sharshia, Hacha Bilon Onoteh Chutz La'Arba Amot Askinan. So he says that here we're talking about a tree. Yeah, here we're talking about a tree whose branches extend beyond Dalet Amot. So the branches go beyond the Dalet Amot. Let's take a look. So in other words, so the loaf of bread is actually outside of my Makom Shvita. So again, so the case of the Mishnah is the tree is outside the Iburah Shel Yir. And in Achinami, my Makom Shvita is going to be at the base of the tree if this is successful. And I have an area Dalet Amot by Dalet Amot, but the loaf of bread is outside, is on a branch of the tree, which is outside this Dalet Amot of my Makom Shvita. But let's take a look. He says, "Be'ilan anote chusa arba monaskinan," and top line on Lamed Gimel and Aleph, "V'nit kamin l'shpot be'i karo." He intends that his Makom Shvita should be at the base of the tree. So it comes out like this, that where the loaf of the bread is, he's taking from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Rabim. In the first case, the Mishnah, that's not allowed. But if the Eruv is between, if the Eruv is lower, here. So when the Eruv is higher, so that's not good. Because now that's in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and he's got to go through the Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So he to get access to the loaf of bread, that's not good. But where it's below 10 Tfachim, this you're going to have to say is below, where it's below 10 Tfachim, so he could take it from the tree, and he could take it less than Dalet Amot, less than Dalet Amot, until he brings it to where his Makom Shvita is. And that's the case the Mishnah is speaking about. All right, I think that's going to be it for today. Now, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far? All right, let me stop the recording.